You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
Deadly Grounds Coffee knows how important your coffee is to you. Every batch is roasted to perfection with a unique special method that brings out the richest, deepest, smoothest flavor you'll ever find. We're coffee freaks too, and deadly serious about our brew. Just one sip and you'll know why we say, once you go deadly, you don't go back. It's truly coffee to die for. So when you're ready to get a little deadly, get online and order yours at getdeadly.com. It's coffee so good, it's scary.
Hey everybody, welcome to another Wicked Horror Show. I'm Kevin, and as always, I'm joined by Tony.
What is going on, people?
And Tony, we have some special guests, including a special co-host today. Who would that be?
Oh, we talked about the special co-host, Angel. What's up, Angel?
What's up, guys?
Thanks for coming on. And Tony, who do we have on for our awesome show today?
Today we have a few people from the movie Deadlocked, which you can now check out on Amazon Video. If you have Amazon Prime, it is free. And then I guess if you don't have Prime, I guess you have to rent it. I'm not 100% sure. But behind the movie Deadlock, we have director Josh Bailey.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
We have Taylor Toons. Hopefully I said that right. I'm horrible with names, so just so you guys know.
It's Tunes.
Tunes. I was close.
Yes, you were close.
Almost. Just so you know, I'm horrible with last names. So no matter what, if I don't mess it up, then, you know, it's not a regular show. So
totally.
I do try. And Sophie Giberson. Hopefully I said that right.
Giberson.
Batting a thousand.
Tricky ones there.
Good job, Tony. Well,
thank you. Where's my award?
It's in the mail. Sorry.
All right.
So, yeah, this is a very interesting one. Tony brought it to us. And he's like, oh, it's on Prime. It's actually, he's like, it's really good. It's, you know, it's low budget, but it doesn't really look it. And I don't know if IMDb is right, but if IMDb is correct on the budget, it definitely doesn't look what the budget is at all. So good job on that for sure. But so Josh, you want to maybe just give a little quick synopsis about what the movie's about?
Yeah, so basically it's about five strangers who get trapped in an elevator together. And while they're stuck inside, the zombie apocalypse basically is starting, and one of them is also turning into a zombie, and things go from there.
And that one who's turning into a zombie is also extremely creepy. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If I was that other dude, I would have just taken him out, but I would have made a shorter movie, I guess. But he was being extra creepy towards Sophie's character at one point. So maybe, like, Sophie, if you want to talk a little bit about your character in the movie and what's her, don't give too much away. We want people to go watch the movie, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe just a little bit about your character.
Yes, I play the 16-year-old indomitable Jackie, or Jack Attack is mostly dubbed, and she is in the elevator during the school day for illustrious purposes. She comes very well prepared, Girl Scout level, and things start going down, and she has to kind of grow up really quickly and prove herself, and it's really fun. It's a very fun role, probably my favorite.
Nice. And Taylor as well, your character is pretty badass in this one.
Yeah, she is.
you've played some other badass characters as well, but we'll get into that later. But anyway, so you want to talk about your character a little bit?
Yeah, Olivia, she's kind of a mystery, I guess you could say. She's just the quiet, sort of like, has a potential traumatized background, alcoholic, engineer type. So what's cool about her is that she's like very much the type of person who can just leap into action and kind of not save the day, but like do her best, you know? And she's kind of like a nurse type at one point, and then she deals, you know, with the mechanics of the problem that the team is facing. And then, of course, we've got a lot of really cool stuff with Abby, who plays my sister, because she has kind of a tumultuous relationship with her sister who's in trouble during the movie. So yeah, that's it. That's a little bit of the background about her.
Nice. And again, I was saying it's kind of confined for most of the movie in like one location, but it's pulled off very well. Yeah. I like sometimes it's, you can see like they're struggling, whatever. It felt right. It felt like a bigger budget. So that's awesome. I'll shut up for now. So Tony.
Now I'm guessing since, it is, you know, partly taking place in, an elevator, was location hunting that hard, or how'd that all go? So I'm sure with, you know, like budgetary, because we have so many people on talking about, you know, finding location is one of the toughest parts. Like, yeah. How did that all go?
Yeah. So locations were really interesting. So for apartment location, we're actually really lucky that Taylor was involved in the project, because she was able to hook us up with these like apartments that were just like perfect and creepy.
Falling apart, like so.
Yeah. So the design of the elevator was actually based around the apartments, like the green and the brown. So it would all feel cohesive. But yeah, as far as the elevator, my cousin-in-law, he's just like super handy, amazing, like with woodwork and DIY projects. And so he was able to help me build all the elevator set stuff, which is basically just like a bunch of panels from Lowe's where it's all like stained. And then I got all these old lights that we hooked up and everything. Yeah, it was, I could not have done it without him.
it was a set, but what, like going into the hallway, was that also a set, or was that?
That was the real deal. That was a real apartment complex. That, fun fact, I worked full time, like a regular schedule of work while we were filming this movie. And that was one of my buildings that I was managing, because I've been in like the property management locations industry for a long time. And I just had this crazy rundown property that like looks so cool, and it was full of people. Like I had tenants, and I was like, "Oh, we're just, there's blood. It's okay. It's don't worry about it. You can't complain to the manager because that me."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell the manager like, "Yeah, go ahead," and you'll hear the phone like, "Hello."
Yeah. Literally, I'd be like, "Just go back inside, please. Yeah. Go inside." Yeah, it was.
Don't those apartments look like amazing now too? Like,
yeah,
they renovated crazy. Them.
They were renovated. So the building sold and they had to empty it. So they had to move everybody out of it. And then they completely renovated it. Now it's like, you know, some gorgeous, it's in Northwest Portland, which is, you know, like kind of the fancy part of town. And now they're getting, I don't know, you know, $1,500 a unit now. And when we shot there, it was like, you know, their studios, shared showers, shared bathrooms. I mean, it was fun times.
Had a lot of character.
Had a lot of character. It had seen a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, it must have been like perfect time to shoot. It must have been like exact time to do it, as opposed to, you know, if you needed like backup shots or anything. I guess at this point in time, you try to have to find something that kind of looks like it. Or
Taylor probably could, though. She's a property manager.
I could do it. Yeah.
And something, I mean, with that same.
We finagled a couple pickup shots that weren't the exact location, and Josh and his team did a really good job with that, making it look
right. Beginning, right? That was someone else. I was like, I don't remember.
Yes, I never talked to you about this. Yeah, that's really funny. In the opening shot with Jackie, that is Abby, and we're just shooting in Abby and TJ's apartment for that part.
Yeah. It took a long time to figure out it wasn't, though. Like, it was a good 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
it's good to know that like really just kind of gross looking brown carpet that you dropped your inhaler on is a real thing. Just like, wow. All that, like that's a carpet that just hides problems.
That's worried about like putting things near her mouth after it, dropping them back then.
Yeah,
yeah, that was pre-COVID.
Yeah,
start of it. Anyone even thought of that?
So with you know, we've had, I think we mentioned it maybe last week or something like that, with horror movies, you have different, you know, subgenres or whatever, but there's only so much you can do with, you know, you have your zombie movies and all this stuff. Like, how did you come up with the plot or the, you know, I mean, to make it different than anything else? Because, you know, mm-hmm. you have zombies, you're running away from zombies, you have to throw an extra wrinkle into it. Like, where'd you come up with that?
So, I guess I'll backtrack. I did a film in 2015 with Taylor called Arcadia Bay, and we crowdfunded it. And one of our funders ended up being the producer for this film, and he's the one who brought me on. So there actually was already like a basic script in place when I came onto the project. So he came up with like the story idea and then had somebody write a script. So the idea of like zombies in the elevator was already there, but he let me like kind of rewrite it and do my own version of it. Where I guess I kind of try to focus on the characters a little bit more. I'd like, to be honest, I'm not like a huge, like, I mean, I love horror movies, but I'm not like, I'll go watch anything and everything horror. I'm a little bit more like into, I guess, like psychological horror, or like, you know, films along the lines of like Get Out or like It Follows. Not necessarily as like big of a slasher guy. So I guess that's kind of the lens I took it through. But yeah, certain things were already in place, like, you know, zombies in the elevator, there's going to be a cop and a criminal, some of the characters are going to die, they have to realize and see what's going on with the world at the end of the film. But I kind of got some free reign in between there.
Yeah, that was actually my favorite part of the film, that it was more about the characters involved, and then like the zombies were just like a different variable, that there are different dynamics I had to navigate.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things too. It's like, a lot of the times now, it's like you have characters, but a lot of the movies, it's like you don't care if they die or not. You need some character development to even care, because, you know, it's like, okay, you meet the characters and okay, this one dies, but I didn't, you know, there wasn't a backstory or a reason to even care if they were here or died or anything like that. So, you know, having character, you know, building character first and then adding in the zombies, as opposed to the zombies right there, and you're like, okay, well, it happened. So I agree with Angel, and I like that as well.
Yeah, and nothing like, you know, the ignition of being trapped in the elevator to having to be quick about developing interrelationships, like with the people that you're trapped with, like,
yeah,
and then hear the growling outside. It's like, we're in here, but
we all enter.
What is out there?
If I walk into an elevator and everyone's like, "Hey, man, what's going on?" I'm like, "I'm getting off this elevator right now." Like, no one talks to anyone in the elevator. Like, the most incredible thing, like, we've all, well, I don't know if we've all, but going to like a casino, when you get in, it's a jam pack and no one's like, everyone's just looking up
at the mirror.
Imagine having to be stuck. Yeah. Imagine having to be stuck with those people. And then this happened, you know, so we can all relate to it, right?
I say hi to everybody.
Yeah. And then I'm like, get me out of this thing. That's how I met Angel, actually. We met at an elevator.
Really?
Was, nope, not at all.
Oh yeah,
not even a little.
We
locked eyes looking at the same mirror.
Yeah, he looked up and I was like, oh.
And then it was true love from there.
Yeah, exactly. And I just want to bring up, because Sergio's in the chat room, he wanted to say hi to everybody. So hello,
hi.
Sergio.
Hi, thanks Sergio. For watching.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for watching.
Yeah.
So,
so yeah, I don't know, the one thing I liked about it too is that, you know, especially you said you're not as much into like slashers and stuff like that, which I totally respect. I like pretty much all subgenres of horror, but slasher, like, if it's done wrong, there's a billion of them out there, you know, and the same goes for zombie movies. So there's a billion of them out there, and, you know, it's different, you know, like, I like the whole idea behind of, you know, where they're trapped and everything. It's something that I don't necessarily remember seeing before. I've seen other things that are kind of, they're trapped in one area, but it's the more comedic, you know?
Yeah.
That's, you know, there was one, I forget where they were, the guy was trapped in like a men's room or something. I forget what it was
called. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I can't think of it.
Funny, but it was a comedy. It was definitely a comedy. It wasn't like, you know, this
was. I think Devil, if I'm not mistaken, was one of elevator movies.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's definitely a movie. I mean, I try to consume anything and everything that involved elevators like while I was writing this, because I like know nothing about mechanics or how any, you know, realistically anything would work. So I was like, all right, what can I get away with, you know, that other movies have done, and like what's in the ballpark of what could happen.
Now you're obsessed with elevators, and your next dog is going to be named Otis, because that's the name of it. Yeah. So the Taylor bring, being a manager of a building, you must have some knowledge of these things, right?
No.
No?
Right. No, not in Portland. No.
I'll take that back.
So you don't really know where the switch is?
No. That was acting.
Oh, nice. Well, that, very convincing. Very convincing.
I'm great.
Yes. So we were talking a little bit beforehand, I think before Taylor came on. And so Josh and Taylor, you guys worked together before. You never worked with Sophie. How did that all come to be? Was it something where just regular auditions, or was she like recommended, or?
Well,
I wanted to work with her from the get-go.
Oh, yeah, you met me.
Yeah, I had my eye on Sophie. What had you done? I don't remember what it was.
It was the archives.
I
remember seeing you in that and being like, oh, she's perfect.
Yeah.
That's Jackie. So
in the Portland film scene, we kind of all know who's working and who's doing what. And it's a very supportive group of people. And I saw her, and I mean, the only thing I was worried about was, you know, she's like so beautiful and mature, and like, would she pass as a kid, you know? And I think it barely in the film, I mean,
like lines about how I was like supposed to be this small little teen girl, and I had like a good 4 inches on you, I think, and like
four inches.
Right. But now, and I was like, oh, maybe I can fit because I'm so little.
Yeah, I'm just a kid. But I mean, you know, these are the things you just have to kind of work with, and I think that she got the character part down so well that it didn't really matter. But Josh and I discussed like that I had a fondness for her acting and her talent, and we did hold formal auditions, you know, that I was able to go and kind of participate in. So we did, you know, we did still audition everyone, which is great. Yeah.
But you knew.
So you're like,
oh, yeah.
Thank you, Miss Sophie's got it.
Yeah. I mean, so she's so good. She's so good.
It's weird that sometimes you gotta go through that process, even though you're pretty convinced, you know, like
you're
into it, you know.
Totally.
It's a weird thing. I guess it is because of like the investors and stuff that you have to do that, or I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I think that every filmmaker wants to see the character. Like, I think that you want to give everyone a chance in case you're wrong, and also you want to see what the talent's gonna do with the character. And it's kind of like free. It's, I don't know. You get to watch all these people kind of, and you get to see how they all do it, and you can kind of be inspired. So although it's kind of annoying for an actor to have to always audition, it does a lot, I think. And Josh can probably speak to that better than I can. But
And it's really nice. I mean, it's just nice to see faces and make connections, and, you know, people you may work with in the future.
You think about,
like, they weren't right for this, but, you know, they would be great for this kind of thing. And then also we had certain people, like Will, who played the character of Lee. He auditioned for all three of the guys, and I thought he was like great in all three of them, but there was nobody who was really even like a good fit other than him for the character of Lee, so I ended up casting him for that. But
you could have just had him play all three characters, dress him up differently,
put
makeup on.
Oh, yeah. Like make him
himself. Yeah. Use mirrors and stuff like that. Do the whole, like, huh? Huh? No. I was talking about, like, making people, like, audition. Just a couple weeks ago, we had
Hannah Fairman on.
Hannah Fairman from VHS. and she was in like the coolest segment of VHS, and then they made a feature out of that segment, and she still had to audition for it. And everyone that was there with her was like, "Why are you here? We're auditioning for your part." She's like, "I don't know." And she auditioned and she got it. And the Saren came in. Yeah, it's weird. But yeah, it's strange. The industry is weird to me. I don't know it. So I just do this.
It's weird when you
don't want to know.
I feel like that actor being on the other side is so much fun because you spend so much time going into those rooms and just terrified and like hoping you're right. And then you sit on the other side of the table and you're like, oh, I get it. And you're just like, no, that's not that one.
I guess you got to be, you know, experience each side to be like, okay, now I see what the ins and outs of everything. Mm-hmm. But with the, you said that the, you know, the elevators were all made up and stuff. Was it as small of an area as it seemed on screen, or did you have a nice, like, because it looked like in the scene, it looked like everybody was kind of on top of each other. So if you had like long days of shooting, I can imagine that being very, very hot and stuffy.
It was okay. So it was very hot. We actually had to shut down production the first day because I had to go out and buy portable AC cooler. So basically I found like this tiny like garage with an attached like big area. I think it was like an art gallery thing with a garage attached to it that I found really cheap that we could rent. And so the whole garage area we were shooting was just like packed with the crew and the cast. The first day of shooting, we didn't have AC in there or anything. And it was like middle of August, dead of heat. And so, yeah, I think we shot for like 3 hours and we're like, we have to figure something out. So I went to Home Depot and got some like portable ACs, and then we were able to keep going. Like basically anytime the camera wasn't running, we turned the ACs on to try to cool it down in there. But yeah, it's funny you mentioned that the elevator is like, that you felt like it was kind of small, because I've actually seen people complain about the elevator being too big. It was a huge elevator for an elevator. But honestly, that was like really important for shooting, just because, you know, the walls could come on and off. We did that a couple times, but we just didn't have that much time. It would have been a nightmare to like have to remove a wall every single time we wanted to get a shot. So it was interesting, because most of the time everybody was actually boxed in there when you guys were shooting. Like if there was any scene where the door had to be closed, you guys were just like actually stuck in the elevator.
I started keeping those cold packs that you crack in my backpack.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Smart. It's pretty smart. I didn't think the elevator looked too big. I don't know.
I mean, some of the other I've been in freight elevators where we had, you know, 20 people in there and all this stuff. So I'm like, it didn't look, you know, if people are complaining it looks too big, I'm like,
maybe for an apartment building, I guess. But yeah. It didn't even dawn on me, to be honest with you, until you brought it up. So
yeah. It's great for social distancing. Yeah,
it gets smaller the longer you're in it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah,
I can imagine that.
Man, oh man.
But yeah, so, I mean, it helps to have the set, though, so you can set up your certain shots. Like, you know, there's the shot when the guy's like rising up behind him and he's like blurred out behind him. Like, if you're in the actual elevator, you can't get that depth. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you have to do those things like that.
To be honest, there's a lot of times like I get like thrown, you know, taken out of a story because of obvious, like, okay, this, there's no way, whatever. I didn't get that at all with this, so
yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That being said, we're about halfway through. So I wanted to play the trailer for the movie. Josh, would you like to introduce the trailer for Deadlocked?
Here is the trailer for Deadlocked. Is there anything else?
So go to Amazon right now and watch it, streaming on Prime, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Streaming on Prime. You can watch it for free.
Here you go. Yes.
Ah! going crazy.
They're coming.
Who's coming?
Time when one's not working, there's rioting. You can't even get a hold of anybody. We need a plan.
There's something up there.
There you go. That's that much. Who doesn't want to see that, right?
That seems long. Not... Was that like an extended trailer? I don't know if I've seen that trailer.
I don't know.
Looked cool.
I think that was a normal one.
So now you were saying before the show that you filmed this in 2016, you said? Did you have like any like film fest runs or anything with that? Or we always talk about conventions or anything. Did you do any cons to help promote it or anything?
No, not really. It kind of stayed in post-production for forever. I was also the one editing it. And then it took a long time with the composer. We had a composer drop out and we got a new composer. Then we added some new scenes to the beginning of the movie. Never really had a festival run or anything. We just ended up putting up on Prime last month after it was like finally finished within this last year. Like, all right, let's just put it up.
It's pretty cool that it's on Prime though. Like there's a ton of people have it, so they have the opportunity to check it out. And that's one thing that I guess COVID's done, is it's making a lot of people check out things they may have not ever checked out. You know, mm-hmm. There's a lot of things they're like, oh, that just sounds interesting, I'm going to watch it. You know, and
especially, you know, there's a lot of bigger budget movies, you know, in the same vein as the smaller ones, everything kind of just stops. So now it's one of those things where it's either watch movies you've seen many times before or check out new stuff. And I think, you know, in the light of this, I guess, if you have to look for the bright side of things with this whole COVID, it's, you know, maybe the indie scene will grow a little bit, because now we've mentioned plenty of times Shudder, that's another, you know, streaming service and all this stuff, that they're looking at, you know, smaller or independent movies, and they're like, hey, listen, a lot of these are really good. Maybe we don't need to go see the mainstream all the time. And, you know, it baffles my mind. We had so many people on, and, you know, people, a lot of the times they'll bash like lower budget or indie film. And it's like, you realize that, you know, Taylor was talking about having a full-time job while filming. It's like, you realize that, you know, they're not, a lot of these actors and actresses, they're not, you know, that's not their main thing. They don't have time to, you know, just sit around and wait for the next job. It's like they're doing full-time jobs and taping on the side. So it's like, you know, when I see people bash certain movies, it's like, you have no idea, especially these critics, should I say. Yeah. It's like you have no idea what goes in and out. That's why I love doing these podcasts, because, you know, you have to stop a day of shooting to get air conditioners or something like this, or something might have broken. And it's just like, you realize that they don't have, you know, a month to shoot. Sometimes it's a week. So how long did it take you to shoot the movie, like to shoot it? So
the bulk of the filming, the elevator portion, I think, was 9 days. And then the apartment, all the stuff that happens in the apartment towards the end of the movie, I think that was 4 days of shooting. And that just took so much longer because it's just so much more complicated with the more action-y scenes and all the zombie extras and everything. And then the rest of it was just like additional little pickup scenes here and there that, you know, we would shoot for a couple hours. And some of those were pretty far spaced out. I think like Taylor's opening scene, I think that was almost 2 years later.
Yeah. That was like two summers ago.
We did the and actually, so Will Poole, who played Lee, when he auditioned, he had long hair and he had to cut his hair to play the cop character. And then we really wanted to add an opening scene with him. And it had been about a year and a half and his hair grew out again. And so he had to cut it again for the opening scene. So it, when you see that very opening scene with him where he's like looking in the mirror, and he's got the long hair and the short hair. We actually like had him go get a haircut in the middle of that shooting that scene to pull that off. So it was kind of cool that we at least got to see it. You know, a glimpse of what would he look like with long hair in this post-apocalyptic world and stuff. But
yeah. Now, one thing that Sergio actually asked as well. So Josh, we know that you're not, I mean, you like a certain kind of horror, but you're not like a, you know, a connoisseur of everything zombie and, you know, and gore or whatever. And what about Taylor and Sophie? Are you guys horror fans?
I like horror.
Yeah. Taylor's like, no, I do not.
No, but it's funny because I love doing them.
Yeah. We get a lot of people. There's a lot of actors and actresses that we get on that, like, I'm not a fan of horror, but they're like amazing. Like, I think that they may be the better choice, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Because, you know, I love it. I would just be like, hey, where's the chainsaw? Let's go. You know, and other people are like, you're going to make me do this? Like,
yeah. I mean, I think when you're looking at a role where you have to kind of like, you're being rained on and you're running and you're screaming and you're reacting and there's like so much going on versus like it's a, you know, you're the hot girl and you have to kind of sit there. It's just a lot more appealing, we'll say.
Yeah.
A lot more appealing.
So if you had to pick, like, you're not a big fan of horror, but is there any horror movie that you like?
Ours.
Okay.
I don't like horror movies. I can't tell you a horror movie. I mean, I used to like, I guess back in the day, I really liked, you know, The Ring. Like, there are a couple classics, but I'm blanking on even what I've seen.
There's some that like may not necessarily be considered horror, but I would put in a horror category, like Silence of the Lambs, even like stuff like that. Like, yeah, exactly. So Sophie, what about you? What's your jam when it comes to horror?
I mean, other than ours, bias. I also tend more towards the psychological character driven. So I've really loved Midsommar. Cabin in the Woods is probably my all time favorite. Just a big student fan. Buffy the series as well. Hereditary, all of those. Yeah. I rewatched Snowpiercer the other day too.
And that's actually a good one. That's a
free one. You see the series? There's a season, like one season of a series.
Starting. I know. I was like, I don't want to get invested in it. And then
it wasn't horrible. It's not the movie. The movie's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. The movie's ridiculous. And I'm shocked that that never got like a theatrical release in the US. Like, I think that would have done amazing.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Everywhere else except for the US. Whatever. But anyways, I digress.
Which is great. But yeah, I also love the horror roles and more towards, I usually get cast as like the dead girl, the surly girl, or the girl who's stabbing somebody. And I love those roles because it's much more fun.
Well, stabbing somebody. That's awesome. What's my character's name? Stabby? I don't know.
So there is some, not only you have the zombies, a little bit of gore and stuff like that, but there is a couple, you know, like action-filled scenes in this. Like, did you do your own stunts and everything? And was there anything that happened on set that might have, you know, any bloopers? If there is a release, like a physical release at some point in time, there's some bloopers that we all could check out.
Sophie, didn't you have a real knife?
Sophie.
I did have a real knife. I'm astounding to who I am as a person that nobody was actually stabbed. And we had two because we had
money.
There was a scene when I beat Gabe to death, the zombie, but it was just me punching a sandbag covered with plastic wrap and fake blood. And I just like went listed some Fall Out Boy and just lit for the camera. That was my favorite.
Yeah.
I must say that scene, that's when it like took off too, because there was two separate scenes going on at the same time. It's just like, okay, let me just drop this and go do my thing. And then you were fighting with your sister and it's like all over the place. So it was definitely that last 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, this just, you know, it kept building and building and building. And then that it had that, you know, right at the end, I was like, okay, it's like, when all hell broke loose at that point in time.
Yeah, legit.
Yeah. It unraveled. The unraveling.
Of course.
Sounds like Kyle. I was afraid. Like, the only other stunt that I was worried about was when he, like, picks me up and throws me over his shoulder. And I was like, are you going to be able to do that? Can you lift? And I was like, oh, and then he just did it. Fine. And he was fine.
I think would be great, like a movie like this that's like this, like, serious and intense at times, and just have like the old 70s, like, just a guy in a mustache with a wig on, like, pretending to be Sophie's character or something. Like, I don't know, I just think that'd be fun. You know comedy that used to do that, where it would be obviously just a guy with a big cigar in his mouth doing stunts,
you know? I think that was a little bit before our time.
Can I just wear a mask and have a cigar and
sure? No, I'm just saying. Thanks for calling me old, Tony, in front of all of our friends. The world knows. My dad watches this.
Well, actually, I think this is one of the times where I think most of our guests are younger than me, too. So you're not the only old one in this department.
The oldest, I'm sure. But anyways, going back into your history as actors and actresses and directors and producers and whatnot. So how did you all get started? So, Taylor, let's start with you. How did you get started in the industry?
My very first couple projects were all commercials, which aren't very exciting, but it was a long time ago. I think I was like 15, and I did my very first spot for, it was some like infomercial for some website. And, you know, it's not very exciting. So you kind of just keep, you want more and more, and you keep doing the next thing and the next thing. And finally you get something really cool, but in between it's just lots of practice and auditioning and classes and work, and I don't know, and then before you know it, you've been doing it like 15 years like a long time. So yeah, it's I don't know, that's kind of how it started for me. I think I was young and I had a modeling agent at the time who just kind of said, you know, you're kind of peaking for this modeling thing, why don't you try acting? I think that's how it happens for a lot of young women, at least maybe men too, where they're just kind of like, look, we like, you're nice, we want to represent you, you know, this isn't the area for you, but why don't you give it a go? And normally they'll like pay for you to take your first class, or like most agents will have their own in-house, you know, acting class, and then you kind of take that and prove yourself, and then it goes from there.
That's cool. And you're like, looking at your IMDb, I don't know, I mean, we know that sometimes it's not right, but like, we have people all the time like, oh, I can't get that removed, I wasn't even in that movie, kind of deal. But you've been in a lot of cool stuff, even though like some of it looks like it may have been like smaller, like listed as a model and some stuff.
90210.
Yeah, well, that, and I like, to be honest with you, for me, Burn Notice, I'm all about
Burn Notice. I was going to say Burn Notice.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
Oh, really? No, really.
Oh, man. Did you get to work with Bruce Campbell? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, if you...
But that was also like 10 years ago now or something. Okay. Like crazy, like maybe longer.
I'm just going to put it out there. If you were into horror, you would know exactly who Bruce Campbell is. And
oh, really?
He's an icon.
See?
He is. I have a giant action figure of him on that bookshelf over there.
Wow.
He was in Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness. Like, okay. He's the man. He's groovy.
Okay.
But anyways. Bubba Hotep, lots of stuff. He was in Congo for like a second. Just yells at the screen. But then moving up quite a bit, you were also in Green Room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were talking about, like, Sophie was talking about Hereditary and Midsommar and all that. That's all A24.
A24.
And that's,
you know,
like a lot of independent stuff is coming out. My whole collection of A24 is up there, and it's just, they hit every genre. And it's one of those things where a lot of it's lower budget, a lot of it's, you know, independent stuff. And, you know, Green Room was probably one of my favorite horror movies of 2018 or 2019 when it came out. It's just like, that's intense. And it's just like, you know, it doesn't get the limelight. You don't get the commercials or anything like that, but everything A24 is really good.
It doesn't get the limelight, but it's got a huge fan base. There's
a cult following.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That movie was amazing.
Yeah.
That is a good thought.
I'm not taking anything away from Deadlock. I'm just saying.
No. I love Green Room.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
No, so you can watch it again because Taylor is like in the whole movie. Like, I don't know if you put together who she is in that movie, but she is the dead body in the whole movie. It's amazing.
It is true. They actually did. It's funny because you only see me alive for like a short period of time, but I am literally there filming with that entire cast every day. It was like a solid 30 days of filming. And I was literally there. Like, they didn't pay some body double to be there playing dead. I got to be there playing dead and like drop through holes and like have my legs cut off. And
how there'd be a scene with, you know, that's wicked intense and awesome, and you have to sit there with your eyes closed. You can't even watch it.
No, it is actually a huge struggle. And maybe Sophie can speak to this too. Like, there's not enough attention given to people who have to lay on a slab in like a hospital scene playing dead. Like, at one point, I struggled with that. I had like, you know, done my coffee like crazy or something, and my eyelids were moving, and I was kind of like tripping out, you know. I was like, under my eyelids, you could tell I was so awake.
I'm dead.
The director is like, you know, well, every we're all waiting on you, Taylor.
Oh, it's like, no, it's a choice. It's a role choice. It's maggots under my head.
Like, play dead better, Taylor. That's like a low when you hit. You're like, whoa, I can't even play a dead guy. So
I wouldn't be able to.
No, but it's so hard. And I think that you have to pull all this like yoga energy work and kind of be like, I'm going to be zen now for 5 hours.
I just start snoring. I'd fall asleep.
That seems exhausting.
That'd be better than twitching, because twitching is not okay.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Either way, that's huge. So, Sophie, how did you get all into the hullabaloo?
It's not as glamorous. My parents were actors in New York when they were young and idealistic, and then they moved to the suburbs and had us, and I was 7 in the church play, because my dad played Jesus every year Easter, and my mom directed, and then I was on stage, and people clapped, and then I watched my dad get crucified. But I was like, okay, I'm going to take that for the rest of my life. And here we are, good for the best wishes.
That's pretty glamorous.
And then I never stopped and kind of did it in high school, and eventually got a modeling agent and came in, and I was like, okay, so I want to act. And they're like, just go stand first a little bit. And then
stand and look that way. All right, cool. Yeah. Here's a job.
And stand and look. Now can she talk? And then I stand better than my standing. So.
People have just, they've never paid me to stand anywhere. They've paid me to leave. But <Ba-dum> boom. Anyways, so, like, besides, you know, this awesome movie that's streaming right now on Amazon for free, if you have Prime, is there anything that, that you would recommend people track down? Like, anything else that you're, you know, you'd like, oh, you should check out this project.
This was like my second big part. I did like a couple of commercials. I did an anti-pot PSA in Portland.
I remember.
Why is everyone laughing?
I don't know. And then I did the Misselthwaite Archives. Was my first Misselthwaite, tricky to say. It's on YouTube, but it's a modernized adaptation of The Secret Garden. It was kind of a trend in like literary adaptations on YouTube, where they would kind of put them in real time, and it's the main character vlogging, and it sort of takes you through the book, which was really fun. And that was over a couple of years. And then, yeah, I was in like a sunglasses commercial, and then this was like my like first like movie. And I was so excited.
Wow.
Oh, and I'm in something called My Summer as a Goth, which is also on Amazon Prime.
Oh, really?
A couple other ones. Yeah.
Is that a feature, or is that?
Yeah, it's an indie feature that came out of Portland too, with a lot of great people.
Portland's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, it seems pretty cool. And I was going to get into that with Josh as well, because you were in an episode of Portlandia.
Yes, I was in an episode of Portlandia. I don't have any lines. I'm just like a person in a bookstore.
Yeah.
But there's like a close up of me, like really intensely listening to this guy who's supposed to be John Grisham, but he's not John Grisham.
Well, I would, if I was in one episode of Portlandia doing that, that would be on my headstone. Like, I would tell everyone. I would be, I don't know. Fred Armisen's the man.
Yeah.
And, you know, but anyways. Well, actually, speaking of A24, this is totally just whatever. Fred Armisen and A24 made a...
we'll, you mentioned A24.
They're doing TV now, too.
Are they?
Yeah, they have a show on Showtime, or they did, with Fred Armisen Tim Heidecker and John C. Reilly called Moon Station 9 or Moon Station 8.
Oh, I did hear that.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
It's pretty, actually out.
Yeah, it's the season's already done. I binge watched it recently. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. And it's A24. And it's I was like, oh, hopefully they're going to start doing more TV because
yeah. Yeah, cool.
Their movies are awesome.
Yeah. I love everything A24.
Yeah, Moonbase 8.
Yeah. Good time. So anyways, how did you get into directing and all this? Did you start off as an actor or like, is it something you've just always wanted to be behind a camera?
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, we had like a little VHS camera and make these little Batman movies, right? And I'd make my mom like hold the camera and then I would direct other little things. But, and then, that translated into like in high school, like right around when YouTube was like starting to become a thing, me and my friends would make a bunch of dumb like sketch videos and stuff. And then I went to film school kind of. It's not like a real film school, but I had like a film program. And then after that, I moved out here to Oregon. I met my wife online and moved out here. And then I didn't do anything for a couple of years. Just trying to find my bearings out here. And then I was like, I really want to make a movie. and so then I made Arcadia Bay that Taylor was in. And then that led to this. So, and then a couple little short things along the way in between.
Well, the one thing I can say is, you know, it's not obvious. Like, it's not obvious that this is your first feature. And same goes for Sophie as well. Like, it's not obvious that, like,
yeah, no,
I wouldn't have been able to guess that this is like your first like real, you know, feature, like where you have like that much going on, because it doesn't come across that way at all as a viewer. So that's a plus.
I think that's one of the reasons why like I had the best time on set. Like I felt like it was the biggest movie set ever. It was, like, summertime. I was like, I'm sweating through everything. I'm loving it.
I'm so glad to hear that.
So
and it's one.
Go ahead,
one Jim. Of those things that I think you mentioned many a times, Kevin, it's one of those things where it's always cool to see like the progression, like seeing the first and then, you know, seeing you progress throughout and your, you know, future roles or future, you directing future films and stuff like that. It's always cool to see, you know, the steps that you take because it always takes that first time. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's, you know, as you go through, we talk to many of people, the first one, you know, you learn the ins and, I mean, every project is completely different from each other, but it's one of those things where you learn from the first one and then you know what to work on or know what you want for the second one and then so on and so forth. So.
Hmm. But the thing is though, is that this one's already so good. It's like, where can you go? Like for real, like the ones that, I mean, a lot, we, there's a lot of first time filmmakers that we talk to and I mean, I respect the art completely, you know, yeah. Like it's, we always say, you know, a movie, I can't talk too much crap about a movie because it's better than any movie I've ever made. Cause I've never made a movie. So I'm like, you've already outdone me by quite a bit, you know? But that's the thing is like, it's your first feature, right? Josh, it's your first feature that you directed.
I think I would technically call it my first feature. I did make a student film, like my student thesis film in college. Yeah. And it was like, it was pretty long. It was like 60 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of in that zone. Oh, this feels like my first feature. So.
Right. But still, and then you get in on Amazon. I mean, I don't know how to do that. You get in on Prime. That's big. You're, you know, it's well done. And there was like, obviously some really good choices that were made. Like I really liked the look of the zombies and stuff too. Like some movies just right off the bat, it's like, all right, they're zombies. So obviously they're falling apart already. It's just died. They're people that are all sick, you know, COVID. Yeah. I got it. But yeah, no, I really enjoy it. Again, I totally wouldn't have guessed that this was your first feature. I was actually a little, it was one of those things where I was looking at the IMDb. I'm like, that can't be right. So I'm glad that I was wrong. So yeah, I don't know. It's about that time. We should probably start wrapping things up. So
talking about it before, do you have plans of possibly putting it on you know, physical media? Is that in the works?
Good question. I haven't really thought about it. I guess it would depend if there was like actually, you know,
a want,
demand, a want. I don't really know how that process works as far as like, you know, do you need a certain number of orders, or is there like a service where they'll just make one up for anyone that orders one, or how that works?
It's That'd be tricky. Cool.
Mm-hmm. It would be cool.
I think there is services like that. I don't know how much they're doing it now. I think actually, like, I don't know if it was Universal or someone was actually doing particular like to order, like made to order movies. But I don't know. There's a lot of different options out there. But also too, we like collecting, but not everyone does. So you don't want to have like 10,000 copies sitting in a Walmart house, you know, looking up on prices and all that jazz. But anyways, and what, like, this just real quick too, like, I know you said you haven't really seen each other for 4 years, which is crazy. But so there was never any kind of like premiere or anything for this?
No. It basically got finished within this last year. And then my producer was like trying to shop it around for a little bit to distributors and stuff. And then COVID hit, and then we were just like, let's just put it out. So
yeah.
I mean, I saw it for the first time December 1st.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like sitting in a hotel room because I was in Leavenworth, Washington. And I was like, oh, yeah, this came out. I should probably, let's watch this. And that was the first time I saw it. It was great.
Yeah. And there was the release date was actually a little like interesting because I announced I was going to come out on December 1st. And then Amazon had all these publishing issues. Like when I put out a short film earlier this year, I was like, I don't think it's actually going to come out on December 1st. Let's push it to January. And we moved the date, and then it went out on December 1st anyway, somehow.
Yeah.
So we're like, cool. Let's just roll with it.
Yeah, because on Prime it says Deadlock 2021.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it still says 2021 on some places.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's possible.
We're in the future.
Yeah,
it's that super secret. You know, everybody we got to watch it super secretly because
it's like
a month early.
That's the benefit of having Prime, guys. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
But anyways, when everything gets back to normal. Hopefully, that'd be cool if you guys could do a premiere.
Yeah.
That'd be neat.
So is there...
No or anything, but I'm just saying it would be cool. It'd be good for you guys. You can film it and then put a physical release out and have that be special. And then I'll watch it.
That'd be great. Red carpet.
Watch us to watch the movie.
Yeah. Like Mystery Science Theater. Yeah.
Talking about when, you know, the pandemic and everything ends, do you have anything lined up? In the works, do you have anything in the work? I know a lot of this stuff it started to come back and then the restrictions again knocked it all out, but is there anything in the works for you guys?
Ooh, Sophie's writing. Ooh. I think there are
anyone.
I'm talking to a couple filmmakers about projects, and everybody's kind of just making not hard and fast plans with things right now, but they're kind of trying to dial in a few things. I'm talking to this one director in the UK who's doing something called Your Movie, which is kind of interesting because it's all being left up to the audience choice. So it's a voting process where you can see the actors that are being considered, put your vote in for who you want. I don't know if I'm going to participate all the way to the end. We'll see just based on, you know, my other availabilities and things, but so far it's kind of cool. Like the audience gets to pick the entire screenplay, who's in it, you know, the whole work. So I think that'd be fun. That might be the future. I think that maybe, I don't know, filmmaking's going to change like a lot because, you know, even big time Hollywood executives and things are struggling to get everyone on board with the process. It's very hard to make a movie with the COVID protocols. I'm sure you guys have seen the Tom Cruise thing.
Yeah,
you know, and a lot of people agree with his response. He's getting a lot of support. I know George Clooney came out and said, I wouldn't have done it any differently. So I just don't see how you can make movies with a lot of that in place. So it's really all going to depend, you know, because it's a very intimate thing. You know, you're right up next to people and it's hard not to be.
Yeah.
I don't see how people would do it without that. So
yeah. No way we could have made our movie.
There's no way. No. I mean, I did participate in one movie during COVID, and it was Empire of Vogue. Abby's another, she plays my sister in Deadlocked, and we sort of like all, we all kind of, you know, do a lot together. And she kind of put this piece together called Empire of Vogue. And we did that during, with all COVID restrictions in place, and it's tricky. It's so tricky. So we'll see. We'll see how it all, you know, when it comes out, if it works. It can't
be cheap either. Like we had one guest on like a while back, and they were saying that they have to get tested like pretty much almost every day.
Yeah.
And that's going to add to the budget. You know, you have to pay for these tests.
Yeah, it was off site too, and travel and all this stuff just to get the test to come back and, you know.
I mean, I think most productions are doing just temperature readings every day before you go to set. And there is always a paid medical professional on set anyway. So a lot of the time there's nothing for those folks to do. So in a way, it might create more opportunities for the on-set nursing team and the on-set medical team to actually be doing something with their time. And that maybe is something we can see that's carried through that is actually good about making sure people are well before they come and work with everyone, because it'll always get shut down if any major illness gets passed around.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw it out there. If there's a nurse on set, then you can be the dead body. I'm just saying.
Yay.
We can do it. We can, I don't know. But anyways. So yeah, we should probably wrap things up. So we're going to go through and if you could let people know where they can find you or follow you or whatever creepy things. I don't know. So Josh, where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram. And, you know, let me double check the name. I change my name all the time for some reason. It's Joshy Bailey. That's Joshi Bailey. And then I also have a YouTube channel called Moon Tropic Films that you can look up. I post short films and filmmaking stuff on there.
Nice. And you have a new one that you said just came up with you too, right? A new short?
Yeah, I did something like just after Halloween. It's just a little short film that I shot all by myself in my apartment in lockdown.
Oh, nice. Cool. Sophie, where can people find you?
I am on Instagram at Sophie Guyverson. It's mostly just my cat and me posting weird.
That's completely fine. I'm down for that.
Yeah. I'm there. I hope on screen somewhere.
Yes, yes, yes. And go watch the movie on Amazon. She can be on your screen there. All right, cool. Taylor.
Instagram. It's the thing. Maybe that's what everybody's doing.
No TikTok.
No, I don't mess around with that other stuff. It's hard enough for me to post what I do post, but I'm really into memes. I post some pretty funny content in my stories, I will say. I've been laughing. My Instagram is at Tay Tunis, and that's how you can kind of keep in touch with what I'm doing.
Nice. Cool. And then Angel, thank you for coming on tonight too. Where can people find you in your awesome show?
You can find us on Instagram at That Strange Show. Me, Mandy, and Ryan host that show. And then just look for us on Spotify and iTunes and on the Dorkening Podcast Network.
Right on. Tony.
You can find me at Tony Has Nine Fingers on YouTube, where I do movie reviews, unboxings, or anything movie related. Tony Has Nine Fingers on Twitter, which I hardly ever use. I don't know why I keep on saying it. Tony's Movies on Instagram, where I show off the movies behind me. And of course, here every Tuesday night on the Wicked Horror Show.
And I just want to point out real quick, you're wearing the Holliston shirt that Alex Hoey designed for Adam Green. So
I don't think you could pre-order it anymore, but if you go on ariscope.com, I believe you can find this and then the hatchet one that he did as well.
Nice. Yeah. Go check it out and check and support Alex Hoey. He's an awesome artist. And you can find me A Knuckle on Instagram every Tuesday night here, also doing Secret Underground Hideout and Black and White Fright over on the Dorkening Podcast Network.